Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Thank you
for your invitation to be with you this morning. And I pray and I invite all of your prayers that my internet holds through this sermon. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart inspire you to live your highest ideals. The title of my message is Sacred Waiting. Sam was born with a life-threatening congenital heart abnormality. Our Western medical community had declared that newborn Sam would not leave the neonatal intensive care unit alive. His middle-aged parents had waited a long time to conceive and to deliver to the world what they knew would be the best of both of them. After several months of needles and machines and beeps and whistles and false alarms and sleepless nights and scary news, Sam left the hospital. It was a miracle. Sam's weary parents were told that it was highly unlikely that Sam would experience his first birthday. To give Sam the best chance of survival, Sam was confined to a sterile room where only the closest of friends and family were allowed in to see and promise never to touch the miracle baby. The fear was that Sam's immune system could not fight off common germs. As an infant, as a toddler, as a teenager, as a college student, Sam did not seem to have difficulty managing the common colds and flus of our world. The unending stories told by his adoring parents described a smiley, good-natured child who matured to be a curious, generous, and compassionate adult. Yet his parents were always on the alert for something dreadful to occur. Those that I met who knew Sam repeatedly said to me, "It is a miracle that Sam is still alive." When I met Sam, they were 40 years young. I met his courageous spouse, who is also named Sam, and their two four-legged companions and their teenage daughter, Samantha. I met the entire family at Sam's bedside in my role as a chaplain. Sam's heart had had enough of life. There were no more miracles. Sam's parents waiting for the evil thing to happen had arrived. Sacred waiting. There are all sorts of examples of sacred waiting, waiting for us to take notice. Ancient Christian and Jewish inspired texts tell us that Abraham was maybe 55 years of age when he married Sarah, who was maybe 45 years old on their wedding day. Their son Isaac was born when Abraham was said to be 75 and Sarah was 90. While this couple waited for the son that had been promised to them, they had to find a way to live with doubt. They had to find a way to daily manage the town gossip about why the couple was childless. Then there's our amazing story about Noah. As the story goes, Noah spent 120 years building a huge boat where he and his family and countless animals were destined to live for 378 days. As I understand this story, Noah lived with uncertainties. Would the floodwaters ever subside? Would the food provisions last? What would be the post-ark life? On this homemade boat, surrounded by family and creatures of the air and land and sea, Noah waited to see a piece of land that would indicate that the opportunity to begin again was at hand. Another example of sacred waiting. It took Michelangelo working every day for 2 years to complete the 17 feet tall marble sculpture of David. The sculpture symbolized the defense of civil liberties that were embodied in the Republic of France in the 1500s. It took 4 years of back and neck contouring labor for the artist to paint the Sistine Chapel. Sacred waiting. The Buddha sat underneath the Bodhi tree 49 days, waiting to attain enlightenment, seeking to absorb the truths about life. Sacred waiting. Sam, born with a life-threatening congenital heart abnormality, and as a newborn, was not expected to leave the neonatal unit. Sam lives to be 40 years old, finds the love of his miracle life, and together they have a child. Sarah and Abraham waiting for the fulfillment of a promise, a son, Isaac. Noah waiting on a homemade vessel, hoping to spot land. Michelangelo's David and the Sistine Chapel, and the Buddha seated beneath the Bodhi tree, seeking enlightenment. What do these stories and others like them have in common? What wisdom awaits us today while our nation waits underneath COVID-19, while we wait for a new president-elect and VP-elect to officially take office? Before we turn our attention to these questions, I want to hold just a minute of silence to allow you time to reflect on times where you engaged perhaps in sacred waiting and maybe did not name it as such. What made your experience an example of sacred waiting? I'll give you a minute just to contemplate that. Thank you for putting on your thinking caps. In my humble opinion, these stories and countless other stories just like them are linked by a few things. One, mission and purpose. In each story, the characters are drawn, pulled by something that keeps them reaching toward their heart's longings, reaching toward bright, life-giving hope, and maybe even a miracle or two. Two, each story is about what some may call love. Sam's parents' love for each other and their desire to love a child. Abraham and Sarah's love for each other and their longing to love a child. Noah's love for his understanding of God and his willingness to trust what he understood, what was being asked of him. Michelangelo's love of beauty and his home country, France. The Buddha's love of life and his spiritual need to understand life's truths. Three, inherent in each story is struggle and resilience. I do not know what Sam's parents had to go through before becoming pregnant with Sam. In my professional career as a clinical social worker and as a minister, I have had many, many opportunities to sit with and hear the heartbreaking stories of couples living with and through infertility treatments. Their struggles were made evident by their questioning. Why are we doing this to each other? I love you. We are enough to be family to each other. Who cares what our parents and friends will say if we do not produce a child? Can any of you imagine living on a boat with your family and creatures of all kinds during a flood for 378 days, a little over a year? I can't. And the struggle. Why are we doing this? We left people we love behind to die. Why? Can we forgive ourselves? Then you spot land. Your human systems are more grounded in a reality that could make sense. The resilience, the celebration, to once again say yes to life. 4, each story embodies mystery and risk. In these stories, the characters are asked to keep moving forward with no guarantees that the outcome will be positive. Some would say that this is the stuff of faith. Some would say that it is a way to be called back to look at history and to analyze it. Of course, some would say, turn to science. What if Michelangelo had been imprisoned at any point while sculpting David? What if he had fallen off the scaffold while painting the Sistine Chapel? What if, while sitting under the Bodhi tree, the Buddhist mind was not able to quiet and focus? Each of these stories ask us to wade into the mystery, the unknown, and to take a risk. 5, these scenarios ask us to slow down and to be with what is right in front of us. We can never, ever completely 100% know what another is feeling or thinking. As a person who has had my share of sorrows, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that sorrows have a way of bringing some aspect of my life into sharp, pinpoint clarity, bringing us opportunities to choose. And we know that to have multiple choices with resources to support each option is a privilege that many in our country do not have. For those of us who do, what do we choose when sorrow asks us to be mindful? When sorrow begs us to slow down? Will we stay focused on what is, or will we retreat, deny, escape, create chaos? Finally, each story and the Langston Hughes poem, Let America Be America Again, and the lyrics of the music video, Blessed Unrest, calls on our capacities to imagine the future. Oh, let America be America again, the land that never has been yet, and yet must be, the land where every man is free, the land that's mine, the poor man's, Indians, Negroes, me. Who made America? Whose sweat and blood, whose faith and pain, whose hand at the foundry, whose plow in the rain must bring back our mighty dream again? Sure, call me any ugly name you choose. The steel of freedom does not stain. For those who live like leeches on the people's lives, we must take back our land again, America. Blessed Unrest tells us this: ancestors all behind and before me, every child. I bring the power of a long, unbroken line. So when our time is through, I want to know we did what we came to do for the future ones. So in our darkest days, may we all be strong and give our lives so life may go on. Fill my days with blessed unrest and my nights with dreams of justice. Make me a vessel for the turning of the tide. Sacred waiting. Sacred waiting is defined by mission and purpose, by a call to love beyond all love, Sacred Waiting is about struggle and resilience, about mystery and risk, being what with what is right in front of us, and at the same time, having a huge capacity to imagine a different future. Putting all this together is not easy or simple. Sacred Waiting is a learned practice. If you have not practiced, I invite you to explore the practice of sacred waiting. May you endeavor to embody sacred waiting as we continue to live and learning to thrive with what is, and to imagine life post COVID-19 in a nation where more are aware of our divisions. Practice as we watch and participate in the unfolding of new leadership at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest. Practice as our global world gives us countless opportunities to practice over and over again. Ashe, and blessed be.